Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before.
All right,
No
all right,
video.
all right. Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
Okay.
Okay. Honestly, yeah, you may have to edit that white space there for a...
Yeah. I was laughing at myself going upstairs thinking, Taz is going to show up and both of us idiots won't be here. So.
Well, I looked at my screen and thought, oh, shit, my battery's going to die.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's all good. What's going on?
Man. What's going on? You and I talked about it this morning, but I guess for the audience, just, you know, running into brands where I know I can help them, but it's almost like they don't know what they need in terms of help. You know, so there's some of that stuff going on right now. You know, like a lot of brands, you know, I talk about brand plans a lot and like how you got to know what your brand is and how to talk about it. And so a couple of times this week, I've presented plans where I've said, I'll help you put the tools in play that you need to build your brand. But you know, sometimes they don't know what they don't know. Right. And they don't know what they need. Having a few of those moments this week. You know, they're looking for marketing help, but I don't think they know what marketing is. So, you know.
I think that too, anyway. We were talking this morning. I think that's a common challenge with a lot of small business. And what happens, people like us might go into situations and they want help.
Yeah.
But it's hard because the first thing you ask is, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And the answers are always very high, pie in the sky. Well, yeah, I want
marketing.
I need marketing. Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know what? I want to go into retail.
Yeah.
All right.
That's great. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm assuming that's what sort of the plan for most people is that are talking to us.
Yeah.
So you're trying to get a little more clarity. What exactly does that mean? What retail? What marketing? Like, what is marketing to you?
Yeah.
Marketing Facebook and Instagram? Because those are just social platforms.
No, just social platforms. Yeah.
They're part of marketing.
Yeah.
Or can be a part of a marketing plan. Yeah. But what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Like, you got to give us more than that. You want to go into retail. Okay. What retail? Yeah. All retail? Some retail? No retail?
Speaking of retail, we have one of my favorite retailers on. Taz Latifi, you are on mute, but
access Zoom for the life of me.
You know what? I feel okay because typically that's my problem. I'm the one that's late because I can't find the address to type in. I can't find the invite. I can't find cords. So I feel pretty good tonight.
Right there. Hi, Kenny. I'm Taz. How are you?
Hi, Taz. Very well. How are you?
Good. Nice to meet you.
You as well. You made me look good tonight. I was on time. I'm usually the last one in.
I'm really excited. Like, two of my favorite people are on this show.
I only see Taz. Who's the other one?
Oh, Kenny, don't be like that. we have a special treat. We have Taz Latifi on. She runs Petropolis. a couple of big things there. One is, he was brave enough to brave the Eastern Seaboard time of 11 p.m.
Yeah, sorry about that. We could have done it earlier.
I asked Taz, and Taz, like, didn't even miss a beat. She was like,
okay.
This is, like, the beginning of the night. I am good, right? So, like, he was like,
hey. I'm a New Yorker.
I love it.
I guess that's true, too. You guys are a different breed. You can do it.
We are a different breed. I don't know if it's a good breed, but we are a different breed.
I think for the most part, it's a very good breed. Yeah, there are times I would question it a little bit, but for the most part, I think it's a very, very good breed of people.
Okay, I'll take it from you, Kenny.
I think so. I think as a Canadians, we like people, like I'm from the West Coast, I'm from Vancouver. We would actually probably prefer New Yorkers to Torontonians. So quite frankly, you're ahead on this show. Not with Phil, of course, because Phil's from Mississauga.
I just named you one of my favorite people.
I just don't believe you. I think
oh
you're just,
my God.
I just don't believe you.
Listen. It's lofty to put you in the same category as Taz. Like, you should just take that.
I know. I've taken it in running. Man. Running.
I'm really excited now.
What am I doing here? So we're excited because Taz runs Petropolis in New York City, as you heard. She is a hardcore New York retail in her own right, runs a great store. I guess I've known you a whole bunch of years now.
Yeah.
Taz and I have hung out on a bunch of panels together. We've actually done a bunch of podcasts, right? Because we did them with Anthony Benny and his group of friends, right?
That's one of the global events.
Yeah, so we've kind of done a bunch of things together and got to hang out a little.
You visited me in New York.
I did. We had a nice dinner in New York.
Yeah.
So So pretty excited to have you on the show. So welcome. Did you want to tell the audience about you and Petropolis a little bit?
Sure. So I own a retail store called Petropolis in New York City. Have had it for 15 years. I guess it's a holistic store. For 15 years ago, it was a very different store than what is out there now. There's more of us kind of holistic, natural mindset of quality foods, but you know, I've learned a lot. I don't think I would do it the same if I was to start a retail store now. I also have a podcast called The Petropolis, which is really pet industry, which Phil was on. It's about the pet industry, and in between I blend in information about health and wellness. But within that, there's always, you can't get away from the industry. Business is business. Mm-hmm. So, it's a massive industry, and I keep saying massive. It's a huge industry, and I want to know everything about it, and I want to learn from the people that are in it and what to do and what not to do. Really important, what not to do is where I go. I love learning about people's failures, so I don't make the same mistakes.
Well, that's not a bad way to approach it.
It isn't. It's a great way to approach it. Yeah.
That's what I'm doing right now, and hopefully getting out of retail soon. Life needs to evolve. I need to recreate myself.
Yeah.
I'm in the process of that.
Okay, that'll be 15 years in retail. You've been in this location for 15 years as well? You're like right downtown.
I'm in the financial district.
You're in the financial district.
Yep. Yeah. You know.
A pet store.
Pet store, but I gotta tell you, I think my biggest mistake was my location. I was too eager 15 years ago. I wanted to get out of the corporate world. I was too eager, and I went and looked at 5 spots and I picked one. Mm-hmm. Who the hell does? So I did that. But I made it work. It was a bit of a struggle. I mean, there were no pet businesses in that area at that time. 15 years ago, 2005. So yeah, my biggest mistake was not being in an area with more foot traffic. Other than that, if I was just 2 blocks away, I think my business would have taken a different trajectory.
I just found it interesting. I looked at them. I was thinking Washington. I don't think there's a Washington by the park. Yeah. I remember Washington. I looked at the map. I thought, "Wow, you're not in the village. Like you are downtown. Yeah. Like you're by the bowl. Like you're right downtown."
I'm deep down. Yeah.
Yeah, I just find that a very interesting place to park a pet store, like in the heart of sort of Wall Street. I mean, that's
exactly the area I'm in. And interestingly, a big doggy daycare, Biscuits and Bath, just opened up a couple of months ago. 2 blocks away from me.
Oh, I mean, if you got a lot of people, I guess, doing work in the offices, need some for the daytime to watch the watch their pets.
In 2005, we didn't have the residential there weren't as many residential buildings as there are now. So there's
right.
a lot more residents, a lot of businesses, a lot of restaurants. Yeah. It's really developed over time. So, and that's why the last couple of years have been wonderful. And now COVID, everything went back downhill. So up, down, up, down. What do you do? That's
how that one's, yeah, that's the pandemic that we all went through that mess.
Just like.
But to stay there 15 years, you've done obviously some things right. So I'm dying to hear what the.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is. I don't know, Phil. Go ahead, ask me. I don't know.
I
take it a day at a time.
I think, you know, one of the things that your reputation, you know, includes is a really superior knowledge of product. You know, like you know, Kenny Taz is known for being able to have a very fine eye, right, for the right product, right. You know, and it's funny, you know, when you were jumping on Taz, we were just talking about brand plans and how a lot of brands don't, they need them, but they don't know what brand plans are. And I feel like for you and Petropolis, that was one of the things that you really, you figured out quick, right? Like, you know, your guiding star and what was important to you, right? Because that, you know, it's kind of the first thing you learn about Petropolis is what, you know, kind of your laser focus on the products that you carry and why.
Yeah. And it's, the sourcing is key for me. Product balance is important. You have to have some of the stuff that you find in every store to bring the customers in. Otherwise you can't guide them. But then when you do bring them in, you have to be able to have the conversation to get them to understand where to transition to. And especially when they're coming because their pets are sick, it's not always, they're not coming in just to buy another bag of food. They really, they, as you said, Kenny, I'm down there somewhere in the holes of the city. So, you know, they're showing up if they're coming in from another area in the city to ask a question, to get something different than what they're currently getting because there's something wrong. So that's become my niche market. It's the people that really need guidance and help with food. So I have a license in animal nutrition. I don't know what that means. It was an online course. And
sounds good.
It sounded good. Yeah, it was supposed to take, you know, 2 years. I got it done in 9 months. And I learn about brands and sourcing and what they do and what they're about and the values that they can bring to the animal. And those are the things that I bring in. But I still carry a lot of the more generic stuff as well because I have to get the customers in. So I find that balance, and what keeps me going is the higher quality, better quality brands. And you know, it's, I think retailers in the pet side have such power to take brands to a different level. They just don't know how to do it. I think retailers are missing the point in partnering with brands and working with them to develop them. I think there could be a lot of great partnerships that could happen. And some, I don't know what it is. I mean, Phil, you know the industry really well. There's so many egos. It's like, come on, let's do things together. What's up with the ego?
Oh, okay, easy there, cowboy. You don't want to start getting people working together now. Take it easy. Don't go crazy. But you know what it is? I guess I'm starting to understand, well, from your personality, I know why I would go to you. So I can see why you've done quite well in that part of town. Plus, I'm also going, because I'm cheating, I'm going through the webpage and looking. You don't read like a store. See, if I had a pet, and I'd go to you because you're doing a lot of cool stuff. Like, they got the podcast, you're doing consulting. Like, it just feels different. I think what you're saying is, you know, how people have a funny way of doing retail. Most retailers, we know what they do is they put product on the shelf. They wait for people to come in. It transacts. They go home and hopefully you repeat, right? That's boring retail. Retail of, if I can come in and say, you know, Taz, my cat, I don't know, it's not pooping right or whatever it is. Is it the food or something to that effect? Like, I feel just even reading your webpage, and now that I've met you for the whole 10 minutes here, I'd be thinking, shit, I'd go to her.
Yeah.
Like, I'd go talk to her. She knows what she's talking about. Even if she doesn't, I'm convinced she knows what she's talking about. Plus the fact that she's downtown in New York in the financial district, which is nuts to me. I definitely would go to her because she's got to be good to be making it go down there. That's crazy.
I am good.
I would just for the short, I'm going to give you that. I think you probably are very, very good.
Do you know how good she is? The first time I met Taz, I was sitting there, you know, we were on this
panel.
Yeah, we were on this panel, you know, people were going to like new brands were going to bring us product and everything. And she came in and she was just like, she was so angry because, yes, you were. You were angry because the pet industry was in the middle of one of these moments where I think it was Blue Buffalo.
Oh, and the then, accident that was
then, they, yeah, and I think it was like people were just starting to like realize like, hey, Blue Buffalo isn't what they say they were. You know, they were putting all this shit in their product, and Taz came in going, I've been telling them there's bullshit in this product. There's shit in this product. I'm gonna get on this TV show, and I was like, hi.
Yeah, don't get that girl's way.
I no, saved you a seat. You know?
Yeah, please sit beside me. Please don't hurt me. I won't say anything stupid, I promise. I hate Blue Buffalo too. I've always hated him. Terrible.
It's not that I hate anybody. It's just that I was angry because people believe the bullshit.
Sure
that marketers put out the fill. There's nothing wrong with marketing when a story is being told. Yeah. With
if it's truthfully told,
there has to be authenticity. Yeah. And that's what, you know, when you take brands like Blue Buffalo, they give you a line of shit. And with pets, they don't talk. Right. You know, we have to see the results, but we don't see problems until they're 6, 7, 8 years old. And yeah, they've been eating the same food for 6, 7, 8 years. Are you kidding? Of course you're gonna have problems with any food that's being consumed consistently in the same way. But don't put out false information because you just want to sell products. You have a story, you have a real story, tell that story. Yeah. Be authentic. And this is where I get very that's where I was frustrated because I knew it was a lot, bunch of shit. And people are all agitated. Like, yeah, of course it's going to go into Target. Of course it's going to go into supermarket. What do you expect?
Yeah.
You know what would agitate me more with that though? What would agitate me? It would be the industry that promotes it. I can get mad at the manufacturer because you know what? Any line of bullshit a manufacturer wants to throw at them, they can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. But it takes a group of experts to back it, you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, not you, Taz specifically, but your industry, your level of expertise. You guys backed it. You recommended it to people.
Absolutely.
It wasn't the manufacturer. Yeah. They can only go so far. Yeah. So when you start looking at it, you know, I mean, what the hell am I coming to you guys for help? It'd be like going to a drugstore. The reason you go to drugstores is because pharmacists are trusted. Why? Because they're supposed to help you. That's it's my health. If it's a pet, well, it's my pet's health. I'd expect you guys to, you know, it'd be like saying to you, listen, you know, a dog is what, 7 years for a dog. 7-year-old dog, eat your dog. That's 56 years. That's like me eating McDonald's every day for 56 years. What do you think's going to happen to me? And now how am I going to fix 56 years of damage?
Oh, you want, most pet owners want an immediate result by change of food. And it just doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work with people.
Exactly. But they don't see that. They don't see that. And the problem with a lot of these companies is they keep, you know, it's about making money. And fine, yeah, we all want money. I understand that. But it's false information.
No, I agree.
Retailers, this is where we have so much power in retail. We can, sorry, this one just came up and sat on me.
That's okay. She's cute.
So, you know, we have so much power as retailers to really make an impact with what we promote and the knowledge we have. But in pet, it just seems like they're a bunch of bodegas. And the ones that are out there that are doing it, do it to a very limited scale because the goal is to get the margins and keep the business going.
Yeah.
But you can still.
But one doesn't negate the other or necessarily have to compete with the other.
But some feel that it does. Some feel because that you have to catch margins. You have to get margins. Otherwise, you're not going to keep the customers coming in. you know, I carried a crappy food, but I had to get those customers in. I didn't carry blue, but I carried some of the lower end foods that were popular for the allergic animals because I had to get those customers in to get them in the right place. But mm-hmm. that
how else do I learn if I don't come in for the not so good? And you're the expert. Help me. That's your job. See, but that again, that's not the difference. Is one is not a retailer. One is a key holder who has shelving and stuff on it. Mm-hmm. And it could be any shit at that point. What's the difference? Well, you may just sell milk. And I don't really care what you sell at that point, because if you want margins or traffic, we'll put anything out there. Because, you know, to me, a pet store, and we talked about this, Phil, last time in Orlando with the pet owners or the pet shop owners, is you're the experts. People come to you not to buy necessarily a brand. They come to you to see what you think. Taz, my cat's not feeling good. What do you think? Mm-hmm. How would you look at this? You're the expert. At that point, you can sell me whatever you damn well please, and I'd probably buy it. I mean, because I have to trust you. I mean, I want you to tell me the straight goods, but I'll buy, because what am I going to do? It's my pet. I mean, I don't want my pet to be sick or
and most
not healthy. That's silly.
But most pet stores don't read like mine, like you said. They don't, because they're there to accommodate everybody. That's a huge part of it. They want to accommodate they want to be everything to everybody. And honestly, you got to figure out who you are.
Yeah.
Part of it is the reason why I did it was to really educate. What I love is education. I hate retail. I cannot stand retail. I think it sucks. I don't want to look over employees. I don't want to have to train employees. And if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have lasted 15 years. If my staff couldn't repeat everything that I said what I said to a customer, my staff would have to be able to explain it the same way I do. Maybe not to the same detail, but first 60 to 70% of the conversation should be redundant. Mm-hmm. They heard it from me daily for 3 months before they could actually get out there and start selling. So training is a huge part of it. Most stores don't do that. Most pet stores don't do that training. It's all on the surface. Right. And the manufacturers, I shouldn't say that. I think it's part of the problem is distributors come in, they give list of what's on special, or the manufacturers come in and they have their best sellers, and that's what's talked about.
Yeah.
Not there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. There's really isn't.
Absolutely.
You are the owner of the store, though. You sign the checks, you write the POs. What do you want to talk about? It's your store.
Yep. That's why
that's the path they chose.
Yeah. I don't know how successful I was financially. I don't think, I made ends meet, but it wasn't the best financial move I made having retail. That's why I did the consulting. I make money doing the consulting and the teaching. That's where my love is actually. So
yeah, but the retail brings those people in too, right?
Yeah, the retail actually brings the consulting clients in. Mm-hmm. The
why do you want to bail from the retail side then?
I'm done with it. Come on, 15 years.
Listen, I wouldn't go back into retail myself. So you're not going to get. My job is to ask some questions, because otherwise Phil asks all the smart questions. Okay, I got to look like, you know, I'm with you. I don't want to go. You think I want to go back into retail? I did years of retail. Customers yelling this and that. Forget retail. I don't want to be in retail either. That's why I do what I do. But you got a chance to actually help a lot of people because your skill set lends very well to it. And the hard part, well, not now because you're probably well known, but it's hard to consult and teach if nobody knows who the hell you are.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Your retail store did probably brought a lot of people in to give you that chance.
It did. And also word of mouth brought a lot of people to me. I have clients all over California. I have clients all over Colorado. They've never been to my retail store. So,
how do they find you?
Word of mouth, somebody who was in my store who got help. So yes, it always goes back to that storefront. It does. So I have to figure out another way to market myself in my next phase.
Yeah.
What's the consulting business?
What?
Maybe tell the audience what you're
defining. Yeah, what do you do? What's the consultant side of this?
Yeah.
I teach pet owners how to feed their pets. Usually the pet owners come to me when the animal's sick and they've tried everything. You know, they've tried all the prescription. They've tried everything they've read online about how to do raw or make their own raw or do their own cooking. So it's everything they've tried. And then I'm the last person they come to. And I use what's out on the shelves in the market and guide them on how to use it and add some supplements where needed. I usually take more away than I add because they're overdoing it. They're just being excessive with their poor animals. So, you know, we just, I modify diets. I work with a lot of diabetic animals because most people have, for some reason, the vets don't give them enough information on how to feed a diabetic animal other than a prescription diet. And, you know, the animal keeps getting more and more obese. They get sicker and sicker. And the blood sugars are never stabilized. So, you know, when I take them off the prescription and put them on some quality store-bought foods that they can get anywhere, they can even get on Chewy's, they're shocked. And I teach them how to do the blood sugars. I teach them how to, you know, work with their vet and get the animal stable. And it's a collaborative effort. We work together. And usually it's about 3 to 4 sessions with me, and then they're done. And they could do follow-ups every, you know, every year if they think they need it. But that's part of it. And the other part, I work with some brands. And what do I do with brands? I connect them to the consumer. Because they're kind of disconnected from the
consumer. Total sense.
Yeah.
They're disconnected from the consumer. They
almost like that nice influencer in the middle. Do you live on the island? Are you in Manhattan or are you in one of the boroughs?
I'm in New York City. Yep. Yep. Right in the middle of the city.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So.
That's fascinating.
So you're getting out of retail. No, I don't think it's a maybe. I think are you almost done? You're almost done, right? Yeah, you're almost done. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're in New York City, you should get down to Petropolis.
When are you gone? When are you done?
Yeah.
This year is it. 2020. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then you gotta figure out, any ideas yet, like about how you're going to connect with these folks? Like you've got a very, I think so. My opinion, being a new dog owner, is I think that the world is full of crap information on feeding your dog. You know, the information on the back of the dog food bag is about as coherent as like reading an entirely different language. And God forbid that you should change bags or like you do that transition thing because the recommendations between bags and between brands is like gobbledygook. You know, like it's literally like if you don't know someone like Taz, you basically go on YouTube and take your chances. Right. It really.
Where do you find? How else do you do this? But if you don't know,
YouTube channel, should I try that?
Well, if I don't know you, like how am I gotta find some. Like I'm in Vancouver, I gotta find somebody. I don't have a pet, but I gotta run around the city. Who's my task? Like I don't know. Like who do
you
I find here?
Growlies in Vancouver. He's all Growlies.
Okay.
Oh yeah. He's super cool.
Neil is great.
Oh Kenny, yeah.
I don't have a pet. Remember, it's
forget.
I can tell you, there's a good butcher in town too. If you want, come to Vancouver. I'll take a nice Italian butcher down the street. But I can't tell you where to go to a pet store.
No, but it is like so. I did that. I you know, like my doggies on a vet recommended. You know, when I adopted her. They said she's eating this, right? And then, you know, I started reading, you know, the neighbor across the street said, no, my dog is going grain free. We're going to go raw. And I said, why? Why did you go raw? And she said, I just read that it was better for you. And so I was like, all right, let's go down this path. So I started reading, and like everything's a big pile of crap, right? Because you start reading. I haven't called Taz yet because
if I have people now ask me, I say that's Taz.
I want to be able to do my homework, right? So I want to be able to do my homework to have an intelligent conversation. But I actually think that as I read, I'm getting
to make you more confused sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's I'm getting dumber medicine, as I'm reading, right?
Learn medicine on Google. Is that where you learn medicine?
No, but it's the same thing.
You start going on Google and stuff. You go down these rabbit holes. Who knows where people take
But the gold standard is if you like. So I have three kids, right? So when I started with kids, I can go online and read enough to be able to form enough educated opinions to be able to then have a proper conversation with a nutritionist to say, I've started these steps, or I read this. This is my game plan. Tell me if this is the right way to go, right? And so for me, it was like, if I'm going to talk to Taz, I need to try and get the most out of Taz I can get, right? And so, but reading, I actually think I'm dumber now, and the gap is getting wider because I'm actually reading shit going, I think I'm dumber than I was before. Now I can't go to Taz because Taz is going to yell at me because I'm dumber than I was before. I should have just
I would have yelled at you too.
You know, like Taz is super nice. She would never say, yeah, no, I don't think she would ever, you would never say that. But
Taz should have been a lot of questions.
Yeah,
she should have been your Google. That's what you should have Googled. You should have just Googled.
I understand what you're doing.
I get it. It's like when you if you have ailments, it's not a bad idea. Like we all do it. I go online. You want to see, okay, headache and our eyes are sore. You start doing all that stuff. But you can go down paths that are very dangerous to go down.
Yeah.
And you end up being more dangerous than you. More dangerous with a little knowledge.
It's like the WebMD knowledge, right?
You got to be cautious.
I mean, Kenny, it's very general. The information out there is generalized.
It has to be barely general.
Right? And remember how much of it is coming from manufacturers, bloggers, on and on. For me, I will ask you questions about your dog, your lifestyle, what you're looking for, activity levels. We're combining everything together, and then we're going to come up with multiple food options for you because your dog's healthy and young. You can do a variety of things. You don't have to be stuck with one brand or one process. We can do a variety of things. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be just raw. If you want to do some kibble, I can connect you with a product that is very low in carbohydrates, that's barely cooked, but it is a nugget, a kibble. A Canadian company, no less.
I didn't think you were supposed to do kibbles.
Well, there are some good stuff out there.
I didn't know that. I'm not a fan, but it seemed to be sprouted upon for.
Yeah, you know, it just depends on what's right for you as a pet owner and the health of the pet.
Right.
I'm not going to demonize anything. First, I'm going to listen to you and what your needs are.
Right.
And then we're going to find out what the needs of the animal are, which are most important, but that's going to come last because I'm going to connect the dots and get you the accurate information. And also, where do you shop? That's another thing. Where do you want to focus on shopping? Can we make some adjustments in your life? Some people are very rigid. Others are very open-minded. I just did a consultation with a woman who was 70 years old. The cat is the love of her life. And her vet said, your cat has lymphoma. And I said, well, how did you diagnose that? She said, oh, she didn't. Just because she's had irritable bowel for 2 years and she's vomiting, she's saying that she has lymphoma, but we really have to do a biopsy to find out. But it's very invasive. I said, okay, why don't we just make some diet changes? Because the diet that was recommended was a diet the cat couldn't keep down. She kept vomiting. So everything they tried, the cat kept vomiting. So we changed the diet. Cat's eating, not vomiting. We're on day 5. This woman's 75 years old, okay? She is not some young hipster, but she did her research. Mm-hmm. She's actually a doctor and a retired doctor. She knows her shit. So when I explained it to her, she said, okay, this all makes sense. Why didn't I connect that for my animal, whereas where I would do it for myself or my kids or my grandkids? Mm-hmm. I didn't think of the value of food to this animal's well-being. So, you know, some people just don't see it. And
I guess it seems logical, but
yeah. As you need to figure out how to be the base layer.
Well, you know what I'm wondering? Are we trying to find Taz and Burke? Is that where we're
let's find me a new
So position. You talked at the beginning, you know, you don't understand why either brands don't partner with brands or nobody's partnering with each other and nobody's doing things together. So there's no other good pet shop in New York City that you could work with without having to work in retail?
Remember when I said ego? That's the problem. I will be happy.
Don't say there's none. There's 15 million people in that. There's got to be somebody.
Can I just put a caveat in here? Is I think that the pet industry is somewhere around 10 years behind kind of like packaged goods industry. So,
totally.
So if you kind of think of like, if you think of the Krogers, the Loblaws, the all these guys, mm-hmm. you know, and what they were like, you know, 10 to 15 years ago, right? Like the buyer was king, you know, like, you know, all those sort of kind of old school things that, you know, that don't exist anymore. The pet industry is kind of there right now. Like they're, you know, they're growing like crazy. It's, you know, kind of, they have like I think it's like a 10 or 12% CAGR, you know, like over 5 years or something like that. So they're growing a lot. They've got a lot of economic power. And so there's a lot of this. Like
it's one of the fastest growing segments of retail and CPG, no matter how you look at it. And it's also an industry, you and I, because we've done enough shows, it's mimicking what Expo was 20, 25 years ago.
So,
it's changing very quickly. So there's got to be people out there that are the old Bristol Farms or Whole Foods or Sprouts of 15, 20 years ago in grocery that have to be coming up.
Moved over.
They have no choice. That industry is going to change. Everybody wants to go to the Walmart, a pet, you know, Petco or Petcetera, who the hell it is. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Not everybody wants to do that, but not everybody wants to go to the little shop who doesn't help you and just has the same shit at them except more expensive.
Well,
there is a need for somebody in there to help me get what I want.
Claims are there. A lot of companies are claiming that they do good and they educate, but it's not on an individualized basis. They don't look at each individual customer and can address the animal's need, which can be done. You can train. I train my staff to do it. Mm-hmm. They can have the basics under their wing, but they have to have someone leading that path. And the problem is, they claim they have it, but it's still being led by the manufacturers and what the manufacturers want them to say. So there is a disconnect with getting that information out there to the consumer. The consumer needs to be incredibly wary of the information that they get at most pet stores.
But I think that's where you come in, right? I just need to get to you.
Yeah.
I don't need you at a pet store.
How do we connect those dots for Taz?
I guess I'm looking at it. You got a podcast.
Yeah.
That's one way. Writes a blog. That's another way. The retail outlet to some degree is kind of nice, especially in a city like Manhattan or New York. It's so dense. It's thing. Again, it could be not. What are your hours right now? Not forget COVID. Like, what are your hours at the pet store?
Hours when I was open before COVID were 9 hours a day.
Yeah, and 7 days a week.
7 days a week.
Yeah. Okay, there's no law saying you have to do that. So you could go into either one of the boroughs or maybe in a lesser area. I mean, Manhattan's going to be tough, but a lesser area. You could do 10 till 2. You could do it by appointment only. You could sell online. You don't have to have a store. You can do whatever you want. I mean, it's what's nice, I guess, a place for me to go is kind of that doctor naturopath feel. Potentially, you could have some food there for me to maybe pick up. Or you could just direct me here. Tell me in my area a pet guy that you like, and I don't have to talk to them. You just tell me to go to them. You've already told me everything I need to know. I don't really need to talk to them. So if they're kind of useless, and I don't really care. I'm not talking. I just need to go there, transact, and you've told me what to do. I'm good now.
So you're saying have a space where they can come and see me a few hours a day, whether it's
possible. That's a little old school, because in today's world, your space could be anywhere. I mean, it doesn't have to be New York either. Let's say if you know a real great pet store in Miami, there's no reason you can't be in New York and push Miami all day. You don't have to be in Miami. I mean, the internet allows you to be anywhere. You're in New York.
That's true. That's true. And actually, there is some people that have asked me to join their team.
You're talking collaboration. There's no reason you can collaborate with 50 pet stores in 50 states. You could come to Canada and do 10 provinces. You could have 60 locations that you are in essence, but never be there.
Sure, we could do Zoom calls all day long with them.
You can. I mean, this is not. I mean, we're doing it. I mean, you could do it in the States too. I mean, the doctor calls that we have in BC right now, because COVID was a problem. My mom and dad even signed up. You know, they're 77 and 84. They signed up and they did. They saw the doctor online, and my mom just couldn't shut up about how great this woman was and how helpful and on and on and on. I thought, come on. My mom's 77. She no problem. Went online, did it all. Mm-hmm. Right? So why wouldn't I go? I would rather talk to you this way from here in Vancouver and say, listen, tell me where to go, or just tell me online where to buy. I'll buy from you. I don't care. If I had a pet, I'd ship it, figure it out. Or, I've got a guy in Vancouver. Just go to him. Beautiful. Thank you.
It's all I need. I have stores all over the U.S.
I'm sure you do.
I just sent a client to Colorado, a store in Colorado, to get the things.
I'm sure you did.
The stuff they didn't have, I said, yeah, we got to get you online to buy some stuff. So, yeah.
But that's your partnering, right? It's the same thing that you're saying. You don't have to partner with a brand. You can partner with an outlet.
Yeah.
Or push brands. Like, pick up maybe some brands you really like.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm already working with one. But as Phil said, everyone's so behind, unfortunately. Yeah. So for me to go.
You have to push it. It's not going to happen on its own.
Absolutely.
The only reason natural products came into mass retail is because there was enough of us buyers who wanted to take a chance and took the chance and did it. It wasn't going to happen because the natural health industry says, oh my God, yeah, please, grocers, you should take our products and sell them cheaper because that would be awesome. Like, oh my God, thank you so much. Hey, Walmart, here's some wicked pet stuff that you should never have, but take it, please. That doesn't happen in our industry either, but it did.
Show me the way to San Jose, yeah.
There's lots of people that did it in our industry, Phil.
There's a neat play here too of train the trainer.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, derivative of what Kenny's talking about as well is the partnerships here is you have the ability. So like I take some of the, like, so Kenny and I, share some, this is going to come out wrong. We share some drug history. Right. So we both sold over the counter drugs. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That didn't sound any better.
That is okay, how we both sold on. Drugs.
No, yeah, over the counter. Like what counter?
But there is, like, you know, when you sell drugs for consumers, right? There's a certain amount of training that you gotta be able to do, right? You need to be able to recognize actives. You need to know,
the talk
in Advil and Tylenol and, you know, cough, cold, flu. And once you train that, it never leaves you, right? And I feel like that is something. I was actually trying to figure out where I learned that from, because I wondered if that's something that you could start to do, is to be able to say, you know, just like in nutrition, right? Like in nutrition, you go, look, if it ends in ROSE, if it's dextrose, it's a sugar.
It's
right?
A sugar.
Like,
yep.
Phil, how did I learn it? I hung out with the pharmacist.
So if you see ROSE in it, it's sugar, and you need to question if that one little four letter, you know, is in the back of the ingredient, and you flip on the front and it says no sugar added, kind of have to go, big pile of crap, put it back on the shelf.
Exactly.
Right? So I wonder if somewhere in there isn't one, a base level education that you can do where you're kind of known for, it's a bad example because I'm not sure I like the guy, but like a Dr. Oz sort of situation where you're kind of
definitely right. Not him.
So kind of like, but like a baseline, like, look, here's what to expect in nutrition. But I kind of see you, because you straddle both worlds, as being able to do that with consumers, and then also being able to teach some of these retailers, how to read this shit.
I think she could shoot down almost as a consultant side. You know what would be cool? If there was sort of the Taz Petropolis School of pet food, and in every state, we'll stay in the state of America, all 50 states had one sort of Taz franchisee, for lack of a better, who's the trainer in that. You know how like McKay works in tech? I think we were talking today, Phil, you and I, about McKay, like the different.
But that's a lot of work for Taz. So yes,
it can be up front. It can be up front, but there's a way to get. If you can train people in areas to do or learn what she knows, so she's the guru sitting on top, like queen of the world.
The free state of Taz.
Sort of the minions below.
Like it.
Yeah. Disseminating the information that makes sense. Not attached to retail, not attached to a product line, attached to the knowledge and the proper things I need to know about food. Now, please help me if I ask you, hey, I understand we said this is Purina that. Oh my God, no, it's not Purina. It's ABC. Thank you. Where would I get that? Okay, you're from Arizona, or where are you? In Scottsdale. Okay, in Scottsdale, I would recommend so-and-so and so. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be tied to anything per se, Phil. But I mean, it's almost like she's more of a school or an education center.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what's sellable? This is what I loved when I went into the webpage. I don't give a shit about the product so much. I love when we go on and you see podcast, blog, consulting. Because that's brains. The rest of it is just, is what did I pay? What do I need to sell it for to make a margin? Mm-hmm. Important. Yeah. Don't discount that. That's where the money comes from.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a transaction. Consulting and walking me through why this is going to help my pet. Because what's going to probably happen, I'm going to phone you probably 10 times in the next 10 months. Probably once a month. Probably give you some update. Maybe there's some an issue. Hey, yes, I can tell you about that. I'm probably going to do that.
Right.
And then you're probably stuck with me when the next pet comes, or I'm going to send you friends because, you know, kind of like we do now, Phil, if I have a marketing issue, who do I send people to? I don't send them to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, I got a buddy in Toronto, phone Phil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You may not be able to help them, but you've got enough network people to move around. It might be that.
How do you monetize that process?
Well, you're a consultant. I have to pay to talk to you, don't I?
Yes.
Like you'll give me probably 15 minutes of sort of complimentary time. But if we start going, what's your hourly rate? Mm-hmm. I can do some research. I'm sure you've got recommendations and all that stuff. I mean, no different than I guess people monetize it now. Information is worth something.
Well, Phil, jump in here because, you know, on the pet side, everyone thinks everything should be free.
Who does though? The owners or the
they
stores?
They all do.
Yeah, but how much
everybody. Everybody wants free shit.
How much different is that on anything?
No, really. It's really like, it's bad. It's bad. It's kind of
disgusting, Kenny.
Yeah.
Really is.
Like rewind 25 years in CBG. Like that's how bad it is.
But it changed. All it takes is
All I'm saying is that's where we are, right? So
no, I get it. But that's a great place to be.
It is. And you know what?
You're due.
I have proven myself and I've taken a long time, but I've proven myself consistently over and over again where I can monetize on it. You can say, yeah, if you want to talk to me, even for 15 minutes, you got to schedule an appointment. And
here's what I charge.
For 15 minutes, if it's just a quick Q&A about food, I charge $30 and I only do it on Sundays, you know, and that's just to get you to the next step. If you want more, you got to, you know, do a full consult and that's $300 for an hour. Sorry.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer working with a consumer or do you prefer working with like brands and retailers?
I like both. I like all of them. I love all of them. The consumer keeps teaching me what's going on with their animals is what teaches me.
Right.
The retailers don't give me anything other than like this duh face. It's because they need to rush to get to the point where they're making money. They don't want to do the work in the middle. Retail doesn't want to do the work. They just want to get there. And that's a level of frustration. But there's, I guess, maybe there's a little bit of S&M in there for me. You know, I could gnaw at them a little and fuck with them a little. And then, you know, I'll be tortured by them because I really want to fix their issue. So that sadomasochism comes into play with retail. Brands, I love. I love the manufacturers. Most of them are lost because they don't know who they are. And the ones that do, I have unbelievable respect for, as long as they don't get lost. Mm-hmm. And after 15 years in being retail, you see how the brands evolve and where they go. And eventually, 90% of the brands are for sale. They evolve into, you know, somebody else buys them out, or they just drop out because they don't want to be in that group.
Yeah. Right.
But the ones that know who they are and are giving something or doing something that is going to make a difference, they're the ones that are willing to also put the money into it. It's not all talk. So often they think they can do it on their own without partnerships, or they can just do it using social media. I think that's where the collaboration would be important, getting a group of brands together who can work with one another, but they have different types of products, you know.
That's doable. It's doable.
Yeah.
It's doable. Yeah.
I was talking to a distributor and he's got several brands that I could literally bring together, but he just doesn't pull the trigger. It's like, dude, you know, lift your skirt up and see what's under there.
He doesn't see it though. You know why? Because he's not looking at it.
Yeah, he doesn't see it.
The problem sometimes is if they can't monetize it quickly and attach a margin, they just don't get it.
Well, that's not the problem with distributors too.
All of them. But that's not to say they won't do it. I mean, I watched that old industry evolve. I remember, Phil, going to the show. Nobody wanted to talk to me, right? I remember I used to tell you. I'd beg for anybody to talk to me, to let me buy the product. Oh, you know, we were the devil because we were on the mass side. And we were trying to bring natural fruits. So we were the devil incarnate. We knew it, right? But, you know, you chip away. And it's sooner or later it comes. If you have an expertise and you can speak the language, you can make the changes. I think there's play in this. This is definitely worth an offline chit chat as well.
I would love it.
I think I've kind of worked it out in my head. So I'll give it to you and then we can take this offline.
Sure.
I think your core strength listening to you is your consumer base and how well you ingest information from them. And also how well you help them. So there's an element of like, how do we grow your consumer base in a way that's scalable, that allows you to me, I actually think that you take a left turn and step right out of pet and you play in family spaces where you think of like today's parent, for example, we're in that space, right? Like all five of our family household are trying to be a pet parent right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, so everything she does, you know, Sophie was outside today, ate all this grass and threw up. Right. And so there were five pet parents, you know, reading all these damn articles, trying to figure out, you know, is it okay she threw up? Is it, you know, like all these sort of things. Right. So, right. So I think that your consumer base is your power. I think that's your superpower. I think that the way to translate this into a way to get where Kenny, and I think Kenny's right, is how you break the industry is to take a new age solution like affiliate links, you know, and then that gets you to like your regional plays, your local plays where you can go, look, you know what, like to whatever store it is, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to give me an affiliate link. It doesn't cost you anything. So if I don't refer you business, it costs you nothing. But the tracker will tell you, hey, you know what? Taz sent like 8 people this way. So you're going to pay me some commission, right? Like some percentage off the affiliate link. But more importantly is there's now data for you that says Taz knows what the hell she's doing, right? Because she sent me like these wicked people who continue to buy from me. And now not only am I going to make sure that Taz is a part of my ecosystem, but at some point I'm going to go, I need to know something more about the consumer that's coming to my store. Who should I call? Oh, well, Taz sends me lots of people. She knows what's happening, right?
Consider I probably have her name on front of my dog food saying, yep. I have an expert named Taz. If you need help, ask me.
Well, and I think that starts to perpetuate itself. And then that turns into something where retailers will start and go, who's this? Well, it's not, they're never going to say who's this Taz lady because they already know who you are. But now you have this power of like, I have consumers that I can do research with quick. So if you're Chrysler's in the South and you're trying to figure out like, do I roll this out? Do I not do this? Like, what the hell do I do with it? maybe Taz is a really quick phone call that I can go, hey, I have three questions. And if Taz says, maybe, I'm probably not launching it. But if she says, holy shit, I've been talking to people about people like this is like off the charts. These are the first three things I answer at every call. Mm-hmm. Prizers, I'm probably going to do it. So there's, you know, like, I think there's like this neat way to build that so that you start to get, do you know what I mean? Like it's a really interesting pivotal role. I actually can't think of an example in the industry that does this now.
But that's the best part of it.
Yeah.
The industry is ripe for it. You've got people spending shit loads of money on their pets.
Yeah.
They're spending more on their pets than their fucking children. The money is there. They're ready. And who gives a shit if the industry's doing it or not?
The retailers that are claiming that they offer all this advice and direction, nutritional direction, that don't, like the loyal pets or like the Kaisers, you know, that all of them, they're not really putting the information out there. They're still, you know, each location has its brands that they sell that are popular within the area. And it's because it has to meet certain margins or they're on special or whatever deals they have. So, you know, it's
normal retail though. That's not going to change. That's part of it.
That's not going to change.
That's no big deal. That's whatever.
No, but if they see, you know, you can actually balance it. If I'm recommending clients to go there and say, buy this, and this store carries it, those sales are going to go up.
Well, yeah, I think.
Products, right?
And now that's for life. You're going to hang on to those people.
Yeah.
People don't
you're
change.
Be like,
trusted those industry.
Relationships are very
you're
going to
be like Oprah for pets.
That's
better.
I see myself, actually.
Yeah, that's I like that one, too.
When I visualize
that's pretty
it,
wicked.
Yeah.
You know, when I visualize it, that's because I see every side, you know? I'm not going to go fight the meat industry.
Yeah.
I'm going to connect with them and try
to. You don't need to fight the meat industry. No. You should be working with them.
I want to work
right in the middle.
Or work with the ones that you like within that industry. Every industry has
gotten
really
famous. Remember that you were on the show. Okay, just send us an autograph.
Hey, easy. We haven't left the picture yet. Slow down.
I'm gone. I see him now.
Just
relax. He's out of here. I'm surprised he's still on the show.
No, we're going for the ride. Just don't.
I see, like, I expected by now a spinning chair and Taz is gone, right?
Just take it easy.
I'm one of those. Sorry.
I'm going to listen to the podcast, too. I'm dying to. I think that's what I feel like, because I do listen to Oprah's podcast periodically, because I do like some of the interviews she does.
I love Oprah's podcast.
I do, because I do. Sometimes she's just Oprah.
Yeah.
Too much Oprah. That's okay too. But I do like her. The Oprah of pet kind of thing here, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, that's where I want to go with the podcast. That's why I'm combining industry and consumer. And I want the consumer to understand what's going on with the industry, because the industry is not going to evolve if the consumer doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
And this
it
is why
worked.
I'm doing. Yeah.
It so worked in natural health. It worked.
It worked.
I'm telling you.
I know the consumer needs to be, the consumer in the end is a driver, and retail will have to take those steps because the consumer is demanding it.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm interviewing the business segment of the pet industry, because I want those people that are following me. Fine, I have 900 people on my email list. It's not a big email list, but honestly, it evolves.
Yeah, it's a good size. It's going to grow. It's a good size.
So thank you. Yeah. Next is my email campaigns. I haven't even started that yet.
Yay.
So, next week.
Yay.
Okay. Once you close down the shop, you'll have more time.
Yeah. Well, I'm half-assed there anyway. So I have time and I'm making it work. Yeah. I'm making it work. So.
I know this is quite interesting.
And you know, I want to like what I do, and I stopped liking being in retail. I think my biggest problem on the retail side was dealing with people that weren't truthful. You know, when you it's like, don't bullshit me. I mean, I see it.
Yeah.
Don't bullshit a bullshitter.
But you get that with employees. You get that, you know, employees that yes you to death and then will do something else. So you get that no matter what part of retail you're in.
Yeah.
So I think it's time for me to
evolve. It sounds like it's time for you to make a change, obviously. You got to try to do something different. Yeah. And so what? That's good.
But I like the Oprah of pet. I like that. Oh, or, you know, or the Joel Osteen or whatever. Give me something.
No, Oprah.
Preacher.
Gotta have, yeah. It's got to have gravitas.
Yeah.
We are at our hour. Do you want to tell people? I think it's important because I don't want anyone to drop off before they know where they can find you.
Yeah.
So you can find me at petropolist.com, petropolist.com. You could check out my podcast. You can even see my store. You don't have to come to the store. You can do a phone consult with me or a video chat with me. But it's petropolist.com.
Very okay. Cool.
Yeah, we'll put the link in our show as well. So make sure you check that out. And Taz Latifi, like an hour with you is just not enough time.
No, I could have spent a lot more. We may have to do this. We may have to do this some other time.
Yeah.
That was good. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you. Guys.
Yeah. Well, it's nice
when you wind up shutting down the business, I'd love for you to come on again, almost in a different light where we've talked about people making changes and adapting. I think one of the things coming out of this is like what could be a whole different episode is, you know, what helped you figure out how to get out of the industry? Do you know what I mean? Like, and then what's entailed in, you know, as you shut down, all the nuances that are involved in shutting down a business, I think are, don't you think, Kenny? Like, I think that's
totally
a whole different episode that we could
totally
do. You know, that is, that our listeners would be,
for a small business.
Yeah.
I love the transition part. I love more than anything.
Yeah.
I love people who change directions. Or
yeah. Me too. I'm excited about that. So thank
should
you.
Should be. Yay. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Yay. Awesome.
Pretty cool.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, really
we love
nice
it so much.
You. Thank you.
Love you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
That was awesome, man. Thanks.
Don't forget to call me if you have a problem with Sophie, dude.
Come on. I'm calling because I'm getting dumber by the minute.
Keep
going. I'm getting dumber by the minute. Don't worry. Look,
I will not charge you because you invited me so much. I email him with questions about listeners.
Oh my God.
I have 800 listens. Holy shit. So, you know, I get all excited.
It's amazing.
Huge.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. Yeah.
It's good for you. That's awesome.
Thanks, Taz. Okay.
Thanks, Taz.
Take care. Bye.
Ciao.
Bye.
Wow. That's good, Phil.
I know. So fantastic.
Yeah, wow.
She's pretty cool. I like her. I like her a lot.
I like her too.
Yeah,
I like her too.
Man.
There's definitely playing that just because it's what's between her ears is the important part.
Yeah.
The rest of it doesn't matter. She's very bright and you could see that you would trust her.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. It's amazing. What's going on with you? I was telling you about my stuff. What's going on with you?
I thought, I can't remember. I talked to you today about some stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what we talked about. Yeah. The day it kind of just went, you know, it's right now the coffee shop's taking a lot of time because we're really trying to figure out what to do with it.
Okay.
Actually, we know what we're going to do with it, but it's now just getting it together and getting our shit together.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's been, I told you, I think after all this, you know, we keep talking about, well, your 38 hours that I'm not allowed to have the number. So my 38.5 hours per week. Because that's not like Phil's 38 because apparently he wants it all to himself.
Kenny.
Anyway, so I'm seriously trying to figure out a better balance. That's where my mind's been at lately.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I got a few people that I want to stay with and I really want to help and I think it'd be kind of cool. Right? But
yeah,
I think it just needs to be a different base to work from. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And take back some of those hours to do other things, pursue other things. Like, I mean, I think Taz to me is fascinating. I think just,
again, yeah,
because she knows her shit, right? I like talking to people who know, like who know what they're good at.
And she's taken a lot of time to like, suss out, you know, like she, you know, even today, right, with us, she like, you know, some pretty good, you know, probing questions to try and fish for what we think she should be doing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, just it's her like trying to suss out like what's going on and, you know, how we perceive her, right? Like, to me, that's someone who's really trying to figure out the next options and like gathering as exactly. much intel as she can, right? So I think that's really cool. Yeah. Awesome, man.
So that's kind of where I'm at. That's probably the same boat as you, just trying to figure out some stuff. All the stuff we've talked about, and even how this could fit into, you know what I mean? There's so many cool things out there. That's all this does. There's just so much cool shit out there that's not typical. Yeah. Today I told you, I talked with Sherry this morning.
Yeah.
Fantastic young woman. Great. Yeah. People that are excited about doing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And most of it's between the ears stuff, not peddling shit.
Not doing stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Just fuck.
Yeah. I know.
Cool shit, man.
I know. I love it. Yeah. If you're listening and you're still with us at an hour and
we're getting too long apparently. We're getting
too long. You know what? Because we get good guests though, right? Like, that's the thing is like Taz, we could talk easily for 2 hours, right? And at that point we'd be like, I think we have to break this into a second podcast, right? So there's a lot there.
I got friends saying the same thing. They like the guests because they said, you know what, you and Phil don't talk about much. Sometimes you guys don't talk even business, you guys just chat. I said, get your own podcast. Yeah. You don't like it?
Yeah, you don't like it?
Yeah, get your own. Do your own. See, I like them apples. But still listen to ours, but you do your own anyway.
I know. Man, I love it. Awesome.
Okay, my friend.
Okay.
You never know. We might chat before next week's podcast. Yeah. Like, I phoned you out of the blue today because I was getting excited about things. So.
Yeah. No, I... Yeah, I actually started working on some of that stuff, and then I owe you some stuff for Jax as well. So, I'm relaxed about it. I'm actually just like it's
fun shit. It's noodling. Now.
Yeah, and it's noodling, right? So it's kind of all brewing in the background.
It's all good, buddy. Yeah. Okay, awesome. My friend. Let's call it at an hour and 10.
You got it.
Has the boss complained about the length of podcast lately?
No, not yet. Not yet.
As long as she's okay, that's fine.
We have a cool guest next week. So if you're still with us and we're not just talking to ourselves, we have a super cool guest next week. She's I love her, and I think Kenny loves her now too. And then the week after that, we have a reluctant guest, which I think will be a lot of fun as well. So
we got two good ones in a row. It'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be really good.
Sounds cool, buddy.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, my friend. Have a nice evening. Chat soon.
Ciao. Bye.